This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Good morning, America. How are you? Say, don't you know me? I'm your native son.
And now, from studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Well, welcome to the second hour of the Common Sense Show. Sure glad to have you this weekend. Hope you heard our first hour as we talked about the horrendous increase in tension over the killings that are taking place all over America. I want to talk a little bit about some terrible events of the past. So many of our young people don't have a perception of the Holocaust and what it meant to the world. And probably the most eloquent voice in trying to keep the Holocaust alive in terms of letting us know of the massive, terrible destruction that took place, the loss of so many lives, was the Nobel Peace Prize winner, Elie Wiesel. He died, I think he was 87, he died here just last week. I had the chance to talk with him on several occasions, and I've got a good friend of him with us now who I want to talk to. We've got the former president of Brandeis University and a senior research scholar at Yale Law School, Professor Frederick Lawrence, who's written a fascinating book about punishing hate that you can find on our website at jimbrownusa.com. Hey, Professor Lawrence, glad you joined us today on the Common Sense Show.
Good morning, Jim. It's good to be here with you.
Professor, do this with me. We've got a cross-section of listeners. I think a well-informed listener that is probably 40 years old or older has heard the name Elie Wiesel and has some sense. Hopefully they've read the book Night, that I think is one of the most important books that I recommend to all, and I just insist all my family read. But tell us a little bit about who this man was and why he has become the most important voice in keeping the terrible tragedy of the Holocaust alive throughout all these many years.
He is indeed the most important voice in keeping the memory and knowledge of the Holocaust alive. And you'll notice, Jim, that I did not use the past tense. I used the present tense, because even though Elie Wiesel has passed away, he will continue to be the most important voice in this. At a time when people were not yet ready to talk about the Holocaust, in the mid-late 1950s, Elie Wiesel was prepared to put himself forward as really the prime witness of what he saw. He was a teenager who went through the camps. He was in Auschwitz. He was in Buchenwald. He saw his father die right in front of his eyes. He watched his father beaten. He dealt with things that no one should have to deal with. He saw things that no one should have to see. But what was remarkable at Elie Wiesel is he believed that he survived for a reason. He believed that he had a lifelong obligation to testify and to remember and to be a witness before the entire world. And so when he wrote Night in the 1950s, as I say, nobody was talking about this, and part of it was nobody wanted to talk about it. I think the whole world was in a state of shock, stunned, and didn't want to believe it. And so he wrote this remarkable little book, and it is a short book, and it's from the point of view of a teenager. It's heavily autobiographical, and because of that, it's a port of entry for many people, myself included, to be the first real Holocaust reading that one does. I think it should be mandatory reading for every teenager on the planet to be able to get a handle on the capacity for man's inhumanity towards man.
I've always made recommendations to my children and to my grandchildren. They all, what are you going to give you for the over the holiday season, you know, under the Christmas tree? And I've tried to look at a different charity. We have done a number of things as a family, but a couple of years ago I said, here's all I want for you. I want you to read the book Night that I'm going to send you by Elie Wiesel. That's what I want you to do. And that will be my Christmas present if you will read that book. And all of them said, I said, I want you to give me responses. I want you to give me impressions. I wanted to see how you were affected. And it was very overwhelming to see my children say, Dad, we just had no idea, you know, not only what this man went through as a young man, but it captured the whole sense of what so millions of people went through that we just didn't fully understand. And I could not agree with you more, Professor. I think that every single listener out there, as you say, so what, about 100 pages long? Very short book.
And it bears up under several different readings because, frankly, it's very hard to take in on one reading. You almost literally can't believe it because your moral mind doesn't want to believe it. And that's what makes it such a powerful testament. The only thing I would add to the advice that everyone read it is then you have to be able to go forward from there. And that is the genius of Elie Wiesel. Because I said a moment ago there's no limit to man's inhumanity towards man, but there is also no limit to the potential for human compassion for other human beings. And there are remarkable stories during the Holocaust, some of them famous and some of them very private stories of people who put themselves at enormous risk to help people they didn't even know. So those stories are true too, and we have to be able to hold both of those in our mind.
Now, besides writing this book and being this this huge voice in terms of remembering the Holocaust, what did he do in his later years? There was a Peace Institute, I think, or something. You know, tell me some of the things about the man that you know in, say, the last 20 years or so.
Sure. Well, he was on the faculty at Boston University, which is how I first met him, I'll say, as an adult. I won't say I met him before that. I was in a room with him. I heard him speak when I was a college student, and I was just transfixed, as I think everyone in the audience was. And then I had the occasion to meet him years later when I was on the law faculty at Boston University, and he was the distinguished Mellon Professor of Humanities at Boston University for many years. So he was a scholar in the humanities. He was a scholar in Judaic studies. But in some ways, the most important thing that I think he did was to take the particular experience of the Holocaust for Jews, and without ever losing hold of that particular experience, to then look for the universal in it. You know, Jim, I was privileged to be at the dedication of the Holocaust Memorial in Boston some years ago, and Elie Wiesel, not surprisingly, was the keynote speaker. And I'll never forget two things that he said. One, he said that we have to remember that racism is stupid. And he was trying to make a very powerful point. It sounds like a trivial thing to say, but what he wanted to communicate was, in addition to everything else, basing your judgment of people on their race or their religion is a stupid thing to do. It's not just evil. It doesn't make any sense. And he was trying to pierce through the irrationality behind racism and anti-Semitism and homophobia and all kinds of bias. The other thing he said, which I'll never forget, we cannot expect other people to remember our Holocaust if we are not prepared to remember theirs. And he was a passionate speaker about such things as the slaughter in Rwanda. And without losing the unique Jewish experience in Europe during the Shoah, the Hebrew word for Holocaust, at the same time, he never wanted to lose the universality of it and of that message. That's why I think he was perhaps the most fitting, certainly among the most fitting recipients of the Nobel Peace Prize, because he never succumbed to the hate. He took that experience and found a way to practice love.
You know, about 2 years ago, I was in New York at a reception, and he was there. And I said, well, I've got to go up and introduce myself to him and visit a bit. And I'm thinking, what are we going to talk about? What am I going to talk to this man? He's won the Nobel Peace Prize. He's had as big an influence in terms of world events as presidents have. What am I going to say to this guy? And our 25-minute conversation was all about his grandkids and my grandkids. What's your grandkids? What are they doing for the summer? Where do they go to camp? And it was grandkids the entire conversation. Could not have enjoyed it more. So, hey, Professor, you got to take a pause right now. If you can hang on, I want to come back and talk about your book, Punishing Hate, Bias Crimes Under American Law. It's by Professor Frederick Lawrence. It's on our website at jimbrownusa.com. I want to talk to the professor about it. Now, Professor, get yourself a cup of coffee and prepare, because I may have a little divergent views with you from a legal point of view about hate crimes, and I want to put you on the spot and get your response if that's okay.
I will look forward to it. I'm refilling the coffee cup as we speak.
Well, let's all do that right now. Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Show. Again, my website's www.jimbrownusa.com. We'll come right back after this message.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com. Working on a home or residential painting project? Then there's only one name you need to know, PPG. PPG has earned the respect of professionals and homeowners alike because we combine the latest paint technology with expertise and knowledgeable service. PPG offers a broad range of primers, paints, stains, and specialty products to meet all your needs. Available at either our PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints Company-owned store or independent dealer locations throughout the U.S. Each PPG product comes with the customized service you deserve to make sure you get the right fit for the job. And choosing colors has never been easier thanks to the PPG Voice of Color system that helps users discover colors that match their personality. So for the best quality products, excellent service, easy-to-use color tools, and great results, visit your local PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints location today.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937. Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD, and if untreated, could lead to blindness. The good news? AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that may reverse some vision loss. For free AMD information, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. There is a cure in sight.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
You know, with all the violence going on in the world, hate is a major component in many of the atrocious acts that take place. and that many states have separate crimes they consider hate crimes, or the penalties are higher than, say, the normal crime. And a fascinating new book, I read it over the weekend because I've got some strong feelings on this, and I'm struggling with some feelings. The book's called Punishing Hate, Bias Crimes Under the Laws by Professor Frederick Lawrence. He's on that last segment talking with us about Elie Wiesel, and Professor Lawrence is the former president of Brandeis University. You look awful young in your picture for that there, Professor. And now you're
well,
senior research scholar at Yale.
Well, not that it has an old picture in it, so that may be part of it, but I still look reasonably young in spite of some of the issues that we're dealing with today, that's for sure. They'll put gray hair on any of us.
All right, give us a definition of what a hate crime is, because it's confusing to many people. You know, any type of violence brings out a certain amount of hate, but what designates a specific crime as hate crime? And more important, what makes it a stronger punishment, a greater punishment, because you happen to hate someone versus the fact you just want to random beat up on them or kill them or something like that? Tell us about what hate crimes are.
You know, Jim, one of the reasons I tend to use the term bias crime, not hate crime, although hate crime is the more popular term, is it helps us focus on the fact that these are not just about crimes that are motivated by hate, because as you say, a lot of people act out of hatred of all kinds. But what we mean by a bias crime is that it's a criminal manifestation of prejudice. It's an act that is based on race or religion, ethnicity, national origin, sexual orientation, gender. One of the areas that in a particular society, and certainly in ours, has a very deep resonance and ways in which we split in a very complicated, dangerous way. Those crimes have been shown to have deeper harm on the individual victims, because the victim is not just attacked for where he or she happens to be, but really who he or she happens to be. And beyond that, you have an impact on the whole target community. Witness what happened down in Orlando just recently. You ask people, not just in the gay and lesbian community and transgender community in Orlando, what their reaction was. You ask people 3,000 miles away what their reaction was. And they feel not only sympathy for the victims, they feel as if they themselves were attacked. That's what makes what I'll now use the general term a hate crime different. It's a criminal manifestation of prejudice that has an impact over and above the harm of a normal, what I call a parallel crime.
Okay, now let me give you a few. Let me just tell you a couple things. Then we respond to it. You're
sure.
Probably too young to remember. There's a great Four Lads song back in the old days called "Standing on the Corner, Watching All the Girls Go By." You remember that
right.
song, Professor?
I do.
And there's
I
a
do.
Lyric in there. Brother, you can't go to jail for what you're thinking, is a line in that line. And then I'm going to give you George Orwell's novel, 1984. He says he paints this disturbing and chilling scenario where one can be accused of a crime, arrested and prosecuted merely for thoughts in your mind. And here's what he says. The thought police would get him just the same. He had committed the essential crime that contained all others in itself. Thought crime, they called it. Sooner or later, they were bound to get you. So you mentioned the gay situation. Why is it more of a crime if a deranged killer comes in and shoots young kids in just a nightclub? They're all 20 of them are dead, or he goes into a gay club and shoots them, and all 20 are dead. Why is that? Why is the one crime higher in degree than the other crime? You follow me? If you're dead,
I absolutely follow you, Jim, and you're raising a very important point. So let me say two things. First, with respect to Orwell or the Four Lads, probably the first time those two have ever been mentioned in the same sentence, but you and I think alike. I'm with you on this. The issue here is not one of thought crimes. No one can, and in a free society, ever should be punished for what he or she is thinking. But when you act on those thoughts, the way in which you act can actually make a difference. In the criminal law, your motivation and your intention is a critical element of the crime. Think about the difference between somebody who hits someone with a bat intentionally, that could be intent to kill, that could be assault with a deadly weapon, and somebody who hits someone with a bat accidentally, like a catcher standing too close to the batter in a softball game in the backyard. The harm could be physically the same. That is to say, the bat hits the head and causes the same harm to the head. But we all know that in one case, it's an intentional act and therefore a crime. And in the other case, it's no crime at all. And I would say it's not just because of the responsibility of the actor. I think the harm to the victim is different. If you've been hit on purpose by somebody, you perceive that as a different kind of attack than if you were hit accidentally. You know, the great Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes famously said, even a dog knows the difference between being tripped over and being kicked. And if you know the difference between being tripped over and being kicked, you certainly know the difference between being kicked because you happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and kicked because you're black, because you're Jewish, because you're gay, because you're a Catholic, etc. The harm to the individual, and we can measure this in terms of levels of hypertension, in terms of separation from society, in terms of levels of depression these people experience, it is a different level of harm because it attacks somebody not just on one level, but on multiple levels into their very essence.
All right, well, I see. I see what you're saying. It's sometimes a kind of a slippery slope when you're trying to make that very clear. It almost like what you're arguing is that it's a crime more as much against society as it is against the individual. You follow me?
I think you've made a very perceptive point. I have argued that hate crimes affect us on three levels: on the individual level, on the group level, the group feels an attack, and precisely the last point you make on a societal level, because it tears us on a very deep tear line through society. If you think about the horrible events of this past week, they would be horrible under any circumstances because human life has been lost. But because of the racial element in it, the level of tension in society and the level of harm to society is greater.
No, I agree. I think that should be brought into the whole component. So, well, Professor, thanks so much. Fascinating book. I enjoyed reading it. I would recommend it to all my listeners. It's called Punishing Hate, Bias Crimes Under American Law, Professor Frederick Lawrence. Hey, thanks for spending some time with us. Have a great weekend. And glad we had a chance about Elie Wiesel. I'm honored that I had a chance to meet him. My listeners, I've got a picture of Mr. Wiesel and I up on our website at jimbrownusa.com. Professor Lawrence, have a good weekend. Hope we can talk to you again in the near future.
Thank you, Jim. I'll look forward to it. It was a pleasure being with you. You have a good weekend, too. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, interesting guy, an interesting discussion. First of all, I hope you heard our segment on Elie Wiesel, who is just such an outstanding American, or such an outstanding universal citizen, talking about the dangers and of our not responding to some of the massive violence that has taken place in this world. And then we talked a little bit about hate crimes. I can kind of see the professor's argument to some degree on the general level. I still worry about the thought process. Wasn't it James Madison that said, "We have extinguished forever the ambitious hope of making the laws for the human mind." So be careful what you're thinking. Be careful what you're thinking. Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Show. Going to talk a little bit about what's happening over in the Middle East with a new novel out. Go to my website at www.jimbrownusa.com. We still got a ways to go. I'm fired up. Freshen up your coffee, and I'll be right back to make some more Common Sense.
Listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at gcnlive.com.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1. Stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything. Your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2. Call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
We have talked a lot about the Middle East, and I've reviewed a number of authors' books on the Middle East, what's happening there, how we got into the mess, is there any way this quagmire out, this quicksand has got us down so much. We haven't talked so much about novels, though, about what's going on in that part of the country. A new novel out called Warning Order, a book by former 82nd Airborne member Joshua Hood is my guest right now. He's written a fascinating book, the second in the series, as to what takes place in both Afghanistan and Iraq. He is a veteran of both those operations and has an illustrious career as being part of the parachute infantry. Glad to have him on the show today. Hey, Joshua, glad you joined us today.
Thanks very much for having me.
Now, this is the Warning Order, where you use your military background to compose this thriller, is the second in a series of books involving search and destroy. So can you give us are there a thread that goes through both books, or give my listeners, and I've got a lot of listeners interested in the Middle East and the Far East, and so tell us, what is the thread that brings the two novels together?
The thread that brings both of them together, the first one's called Clear by Fire, this one's Warning Order, is what is the situation on the ground, first in Afghanistan and then later in Syria and Iraq, what does that look like to a soldier trying to accomplish a mission where, there's people back in Washington are utilizing their own agendas, and you know, you have commanders on the ground that are unwilling to tell exactly what's going on and the truth back to Washington.
Well, what restricts them from, I don't know if you're limited in what you can say, but that's a pretty heavy subject. You bring this into your book, but what are those restrictions? In other words, is it to control the press and to control the whole agenda, or why is a commander limited in what he can say about what should be done or what is not being done?
Well, I took a lot of it from what I saw in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the simple fact is when I was in Iraq in 2005-2006, we kind of had a black eye, and we were back home. You know, there was a lot of talk in the media about we were failing, and then when I went to Afghanistan, you kind of had the surges going on in Iraq, and the fighting in Afghanistan had picked up and was on one of the highest levels of violence ever. So you had, the people back in Washington, the policymakers, President Bush, et cetera, who would send his commanders or whoever into the area, and a lot of it was you really don't want to be the guy telling the boss the bad news. You don't want to be the guy saying, well, I know that, this is our policy and this is what we're going to do and this is what, the commanders and generals, et cetera, in Baghdad have decided or in Kabul. But that's not really working, and we're actually having a lot of problems. And, from a soldier's point of view, that gets very frustrating when you're out there trying to do a mission and you're seeing a small piece of the pie, and you hear people just like, oh, everything's great, almost like in the police situation we see today. Crime's there all the time low, and you're seeing something totally different.
Tell us, if you will, about the impediments to when you went in, say, as an officer, when you're going in with the 82nd Airborne. I mean, we the average American, we think of, the Romans just barreled over their enemies, and the Huns did this, we did this as Americans in the 1800s, and I don't think most Americans understand the impediments, and I'm just talking about language. I'm talking about the fact that you've got to be so much more cautious today. You can get prosecuted for killing citizens. Not only you can't kill citizens, that can almost be a crime against you. What are the differences? I'm just trying to give my listeners the differences in terms of new military approach when you go into an area like this.
Okay, well, I enlisted after college, so when I went into Iraq, I was a specialist, which is an E4. I wasn't a sergeant or anything like that. And so, the comparisons, when you look back at, let's say, World War II, or you look back, before then, you say the Romans or whatever. Back then, let's take World War II for example. When they went into Normandy, when they, in the Pacific, went to Tarawa and places like that, they were able to, they had an enemy that wore a uniform. They had a capital of either Japan or they had a capital of Germany. And they were able to keep, the casualty figures and the realities of war away from the American people. Now, all that's changed, obviously, after Vietnam. It's only gotten, everything is more transparent now because of this 24-hour news cycle. So when I was in Iraq, we had reporters following us, and you go into an area where you don't speak the languages and you're using interpreters to tell you what this person or that person said, but you don't know 100% if you could trust them. And the fact is that in Iraq and in Afghanistan, they know that eventually the Americans are going to leave. And so you're asking them to step way out on the line and tell you, if you're looking for, a high-profile target, an al-Qaeda person or somebody like that, you go into these villages or towns, and everybody knows everybody. They've lived there for a long time. They know exactly where this person is. They know that you're going to leave eventually, and they know that those reprisals are going to hit them. So it's hard sometimes to develop actionable intelligence and to develop that trust when, a perfect example was after the first Gulf War, where President Bush asked all the people to rise up against Saddam Hussein and just kind of abandon them. And they have a very long memory about things like that.
Yeah, I get you and I would too. So, well, let's get specific about your book. You've got a disgraced American soldier. He's a legend in terms of being a special op guy. Ted, just give us a very short summary, if you will, of what the book's all about.
Warning Order is about, it picks up, like we said, after Clear by Fire, and in Clear by Fire, the main character, Mason Kane, is a good soldier, believes in the mission, believes in America, but he is under the command of a colonel who has different methods about how to prosecute the war. He feels like he's being hamstrung, and so a situation develops, and Mason Kane makes a stand, and they turn around and betray him. You know, this massacre that happens, they blame it on him, so he's running to clear his name and in the first book. In the second book, he's a little bit closer to clearing his name. He's made a deal with the CIA to work in Syria, and he goes out on a mission where we're beginning to see the advent of ISIS with al-Nusra kind of moving into Iraq. So we have this atmosphere where, you know, the president was saying when I wrote the book in 2014 that ISIS was this JV team, and on the ground, Mason Kane finds out that this is not the case. And while the people in Washington are kind of unwilling to face it, the antagonist, the main bad guy, has his own agenda to destroy America and to move into Iraq.
I got you. Well, so then the next question is this the second of a long line of search and destroy thrillers? You have kept with your protagonist here, Mason Kane, through two books. We're going to see him around again?
I'm working on the third, but, you know, at the same time, being a full-time law enforcement officer, there's a lot of things stateside that I would like to write. So I have a couple projects on the table right now, and I'm, you know, waiting to see which one kind of gets the most interest.
Yeah, bring Mason Kane home. Let him defend the homeland might be a good idea. So, hey, the book is called Waning Order. Joshua Hood's the author. Fascinating book about what's going on in the Middle East. I think you'll enjoy it. You can find it on our website, www.jimbrownusa.com. Joshua, thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend. Hope we can talk to you when the third book comes out.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Interesting guy, and of course, interesting subject of writing fiction about the Middle East. We talk so much about nonfiction, but boy, a mess over there, and as we've said before, a mess right here at home. Coming on right back for our final segment, freshen up your coffee. We'll be back to make some more common sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
We just finished that guest, Jonathan Hood, talking about all the trials and tribulations in the Middle East, Americans being killed, and you know, as I get older, and let me tell you about my military experience. I volunteered when I did not have to. I was draft exempt, and I volunteered to go into the U.S. Army, stayed in the Louisiana National Guard for 12 years. So I volunteered to serve my country. I'm very pro-military. I fly the American flag outside my office. I fly it outside my home 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But in looking over history, we've talked so much in the show about the Middle East and skirmishes that are taking American lives all over the world. You just wonder, how do you get a grip on a sane policy to keep so many Americans from dying? You know, Albert Einstein said, older men start wars, but younger men fight wars. And I think it was former President Herbert Hoover who said, older men declare war, but it is the youth who must fight and die. And so you've got these old men dreaming up wars for young men, and the young men go and die. And I may bring this today because this weekend is the 100-year anniversary of something called the Battle of the Somme, one of the most definitive battles in World War I that America never should have gotten sucked into. In that one day, the British Army suffered 57,400 casualties. In one day, French had 1,590 casualties, Germans over 10,000. Single greatest day for casualties in British history. And then the Americans jump into something like this. And, you know, when all was said and done, with all of these casualties, you know, America lost thousands and thousands of young men in World War I. And we fought this war, and you know, the whole war was kind of misunderstandings, is what it was. I mean, the Germans and the British and the French all kind of stumbled into the thing. And so 115,000 American soldiers go on to die for no good reasons. over the United States foolishly and senselessly, in my opinion, entering World War One back in 1917. And I read Ernest Hemingway recently, reading an article by Hemingway, who wrote about he was an ambulance driver in Italy during the end of World War One. He said that they wrote in the old days that it is sweet and fitting to die for one's country, but in modern war there is nothing sweet nor fitting in your dying. You will die like a dog for no good reason. Never think that war, no matter how necessary nor how justified, is not a crime. It's Ernest Hemingway. And look, we want to protect American interests, and I go back to what I said. I volunteered for my country, and most of these chicken hawks that make up our members of Congress and our state legislatures, with a few exceptions, and our governors and our senators, never served a day, never volunteered one iota to defend their country. So I'm very proud of my service and the service of so many of you listeners out there. But, you know, 115,000 die in that war, and then World War II comes along. Now, World War II was a different animal. We got directly attacked, and we had to defend this country. Sometimes we made some foolish decisions in terms of what our generals did. But we're in these wars in the Middle East, and I'm not sure why, and there's no end in sight. And here's what's really troubling. There is no cohesive policy by either the Democrats or the Republicans, by either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, as to how to get us out of these entanglements. It's quicksand. We get buried down. We got sucked under. And there's no rhyme or reason for where we're going to end up. It's such an uphill battle. How do you prevent the senseless slaughter that goes on, that young men, all our young men dying in vain? Now, you know, women are being having to sign up for the draft. And you got governments, presidents, politicians, and military officers, and they can continue to send these young men to die, and the military establishment wants more money, more weapons of war. Congress continues to fund bloated military budgets. We've seen so many budgets. I saw a picture the other day of big Air Force bombers by the thousands out in the desert somewhere in Arizona, just sitting there dead and not being used, and yet we're putting more and more in service. You got these uber patriots, neocons, armchair warriors. I say armchair because they never served. Just war theorists, progressive hawks, right-wing nationalists, red state fascists. I can go on and on and on about, we got to go fight, got to get blow them up and take over the world. And then, you know, there is no reasonable balance involving these huge corporations. I mean, Coca-Cola wants to sell Coke all over the world. They want us to fight the battles in the Middle East so they can have, they can have the markets open there for them and the iPhones and all the automobiles and everything like that. So, and I know there's a balance in terms of the foreign markets, but it just seems to me that we've gone so far, and particularly on this day when we go back 100 years ago to the Battle of Somme that took place on this date, 1916. Hundreds of thousands of soldiers dead just in a couple of days. It just seems so out of sync and out of focus in terms of what we want to do without a cohesive policy. Look, if we are in danger, this country needs to be protected. And sometimes these neocons go to extremes, you know, with the Patriot Act that we want every single email and telephone call of every single American, and that's got it. Well, that's for our national security. But we got a bungling FBI that can't even stop a shoe bomber on an airplane whose dad calls him up and says, hey, this guy's going to blow up an airplane. Or the terrible events in Boston 2 years ago where the Russians not once but twice call our FBI and say, look, these are a couple of bad brother eggs. They're no good. They're going to do you some harm. But we just kind of shrug our shoulders. We don't fool with issues like that. But boy, we want every one of your emails. We want every one of your telephone calls. And it just seems like there is no cohesive policy. And I listen to Donald Trump, and I hear no cohesive policy. And I listen to Hillary Clinton, and there's no focus in terms of what she wants to do. She's bogged down with her emails. And she's bragging about all this background in terms of being Secretary of State. But look at the world today. We go back, at least back when her husband was president, things were pretty calm and stable. We talked earlier in the show about race relations at an all-time low. We had a black president for 8 years, and race relations could not be worse. So somebody's got to come in with some very cohesive thinking. That's what leadership is all about. That's what being present is all about. And one of the huge fallacies this time around is that we don't have that kind of discussion taking place. Congress, the Republican Congress, is obsessed with Benghazi and Nail and Hillary Clinton. That's the only thing they think about. They're not talking about demanding a cohesive policy. I like Paul Ryan, who's the Speaker of the House of Representatives. Seems like a pretty good guy, but I fault him for not developing a cohesive policy, not putting think tanks together, not laying out what our national priorities are. I don't know what, do you know what they are? I don't know what they are. We haven't heard that from the present president or from the presidential wannabes in terms of how we do not get sucked in to wars all over the world. And it's not going to get easier. The Brexit vote here in England not too long ago, they want to go it alone. Well, they say they're going to stay in NATO. Donald Trump says we should dissolve NATO. NATO is a cohesive group that is there together to put up some protection. There's been a lot of criticism about the fact that the U.S. has been carrying the majority of the load. The rest of the countries don't put up their agreed-upon share to protect our national interests. They're not, and nobody's insisting that they do. So NATO is not as effective as it should be. So what I'm saying, I'm not saying to withdraw and that we should not defend American interests. And I know that in some countries we have an obligation to protect them on this continent, the southern continent. What's happening in Israel, they're out there all alone. They are strong allies of ours. We certainly have obligations, and we should stand up and meet those obligations. But to carry on as we have in the past without any cohesive plan, we're just kind of winging it, you know, playing it day by day. We had Joshua Hood on earlier in the show about his novel Warning Order, and he said, well, he was there, you know, the generals were afraid to express themselves because the politicians had their own agenda, just didn't want to rock the boat. Everything's rosy over in the Middle East. Well, it wasn't rosy in 2004 and wasn't rosy in 2009, and it's not rosy today. So leadership means stepping up to the plate and laying out a cohesive plan. And both Trump and Clinton and all the other wannabes have failed to do this. And to me, that is extremely disappointing. Hey, we're out of time, and I wish I had more time to go rant and rave with you. But I'll be back. He's back. I'll be back next week at this time. Same time, same station to talk about these issues, try to put in perspective as they how they hit home to you. I'm not trying to be a world philosopher. I just want to see what deals with me and my family. Hey, you folks have a great weekend. Look forward to seeing you next week, and we'll come back to make some more common sense. Take care.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
The most recognizable name in all of home improvement radio, the Cajun contractor Michael King, host of Home Talk USA, is now available for your next speaking engagement. That's right. You can have one of the most exciting, energetic personalities on the radio today speak at your next function. If your trade organization or company needs a qualified speaker to talk about home improvement products, technologies, and services, even the current state of your industry, please give him a call today. The Cajun contractor Michael King is a qualified, license-tested contractor with an extensive knowledge of home improvement construction and repairs, and is regarded by his peers as one of the top experts in his field and the home improvement industry in general. His keen sense of humor and entertaining delivery will really make your next function one to remember. Call the Cajun contractor Michael King today at 985-641-3730. That's 985-641-3730. 985-641-3730. Michael King at HometalkMedia.com. 985-641-3730. Michael King at HometalkMedia.com. C'est le bon temps roulé. Let the good times roll.
All of us want to stay healthy, particularly as we grow older. I work out and try to watch what I eat, but you need more. You need a vitamin supplement to give you that extra energy and to help keep your weight down. My solution? I use Youngevity vitamins and minerals to keep me in good health. They're easy to take, and the power drinks, for me, really taste good. Hey, give them a try. Go to my website at jimbrownhealth.com. That's jimbrownhealth.com. You'll be glad you did.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.